the comic book now owns pop culture, and that's a worldwide phenomenon. Film, television, literature, even music. These days, it's all about the comics.
I am Arrow.
I'm Batman.
Supergirl?
What does S.H.I.E.L.D. stand for, Agent Ward?
I am Iron Man.
And I am Spider-Man.
Hulk. Smash.
We're living the comics life. We're breaking the panel.
Hey there, Brave Wanderers. Welcome to episode number 3 of Breaking the Panel. In this issue, we explore the latest developments of Marvel's mutant properties and what that means for the future of the X-Men. Coming to you live in full Technicolor, full frontal nerdity.
Excellent.
Oh, good job, Klotz.
Yeah.
It's the first time you've ever had to open something for us. So it's really cool, man. Good job.
Thanks.
So, well, let's jump into the biggest story of the day, right? Marvel puts a kibosh on any new mutants.
That's right. Yeah, it's just like Scarlet Witch right before House of M when she says, "No more mutants." Mm-hmm. It's kind of what we're getting. According to Chris Claremont, who talked about this with some website, I don't have that one in the notes, but he's been told by the higher-ups at Marvel not to create any future mutants. And they've kind of cemented this in to the comic continuity by saying that the Terrigen Mist that created the Inhumans have also sterilized. They have a side effect, may cause burning, itching, swelling, and sterilization of your mutant genes, or of your mutant reproductive abilities. So it looks like, for at least the time being, and of course everything in comics is reversible, it looks like for the time being though, they're not creating any more mutants. And we think that this is kind of the same lines as what they were doing with the Fantastic Four, where because those movie properties belong to another studio, there's no sense in them creating characters that immediately belong to Fox, which would be the case. If you introduce a mutant character right now at Marvel, it immediately belongs to Fox because Fox has the ownership of mutants, even ones they haven't used in previous movies. Yeah. Right, exactly. So the exception to this obviously is the Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch getting double billed or getting double use in Age of Ultron and X-Men Days of Future Past.
And I didn't quite understand that exception. How did that work out again?
It's a really good question because it was something to do with the fact that they were also Avengers. So that kind of was to my understanding, that was the being able to slip it under the door kind of thing.
But in that case, Wolverine was also an Avenger.
Yeah, but he was a
X-Men first.
He was an X-Men first and foremost. You know, maybe not so as much with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, although I want to say they were introduced in X-Men.
If I recall, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were kind of shoehorned into being mutants later, weren't they?
Well, there was some kind of retcon or something also where they're not mutants. They ended up not being the kids of
Magneto.
That's
the latest. Yeah, that's the latest solution, quote unquote, to the current problem.
Which I hate retconning. I mean, for that purpose. It's like, it's one thing to say, okay, we're modernizing everything, so we're going to change the story a little bit, but because I cannot fault Marvel too much, because why would you want to lose millions of dollars on something you created that at the time when you thought you were going to lose everything, you started selling off your babies because you had to stay alive. And now the big bad Fox guy has your babies and you can't do anything with them. But at the same time, to retcon it just so you can have the characters, it just, it leaves a dirty taste all the way around, right? Can't we all just get along?
Yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate that basically that's the way it is, right? That because of the deal that they made when they were on the verge of going bankrupt, that they basically had to say, "Yeah, here's our properties. Use these for movies. Whatever you need to do, go for it."
And some really crappy properties came out of that.
We've kind of talked about this at length before, both on this show and on From the Helicarrier. For me, the issue is that, like, Fox is just doing such an abysmal job with it that I really feel like, you know, Marvel's like, well, we're just going to pull back any kind of support at all, because, I mean, the one guy was quoted as saying, why would we put the effort forth to produce something that we don't get the full revenue from? right. when we could just put that energy in the things that we do.
Yeah. And I think it goes beyond that, though, too. It's why would we create something awesome that you may, not necessarily will, but you may take and just drag through the mud, and that's the right. world's introduction to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, is that it's clear that Fox is not, they're not doing a good service to anybody here. They're not serving Marvel's interests. They're not serving the fans of Marvel's properties any service. I mean, this Fantastic Four movie was such an abysmal failure, so bad. And we knew it was going to be. We called it. I mean, we talked about this a year ago, and I said, I'm not going to go see it. It's going to be terrible. And then they had a couple trailers where I was like, well, it's starting to look a little bit decent.
Yeah, right? You got that, oh, baby.
And then the reviews came out, and they said it was terrible. Right. So the thing is, Fox sees it as just a cash cow, and they're just trying to squeeze every drop of blood out of it. And it's like, you're not doing yourself any favors here, because you're not going to make any money. You're just going to send people fleeing over to Marvel's much well-handled and much, better managed things, where the merchandising is better. Everything is just better. Like, there was almost no quality merchandising for Fantastic.
That was in one of the articles I read about the X-Men, is that Marvel, because they can control part of that, has been squeezing the merchandising funnel down on Fox so that they can't get more revenue from that.
Right.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. I mean, they got all the, anybody who produces anything, any toys or anything like that, has basically been told, stop doing X-Men, stop doing Fantastic Four. One of the interesting exceptions is the WizKids, the company that makes HeroClix and Dice Masters. They've continued to produce X-Men and, to a certain degree, Fantastic Four related stuff, but they've been moving away from it in a pretty big way. Like, they've been really focusing on Avengers and stuff like that. So I think there's some directive there, but they don't have a complete embargo, as it would seem, where some of the other firms are like, you can't make anything at all. Like, you have to stop completely.
And bummer about it is, when you look at how these things sell, right? And maybe moving away from not as much the merchandising, the game tie-ins and the toys and things like that, but the actual comic books themselves, Spider-Man, which... we're seeing that kind of get pulled back over to Marvel with Civil War, but Sony's still having a firm grasp on doing future Spider-Man movies. And X-Men being some of Marvel's still best-selling comic books. Right now, looking at the sales charts for the last couple months, Secret Wars is killing it. And then the Star Wars properties. And then as you go down the list, it's Age of Apocalypse, Old Man Logan, which is a Wolverine book, A-Force, which is kind of a hybrid of X-Men and Avengers, X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Years of Future Past, and it's a while before you actually get down to stuff like Thor, Planet Hulk, stuff like that. Comic-wise, aside from the crossover stuff they're doing now, and of course the Star Wars stuff, X-Men and Spider-Man are still the biggest selling Marvel comics.
Because I would have to say, my guess is, that's because they did some really great Saturday morning cartoons, especially in the 90s. Affected our generation. And now, Sony is so much easier and cost-effective to make animation than to make movies. Sony's really put out a lot of cartoon versions of Spider-Man, and Fox has put out a lot of cartoon versions of X-Men. And I think that's helped with that recognition.
I think you're onto something there, McFall, because I'm 31 years old. I was born in 84. So I came to my fandom early in the early 90s. And if you recall, that's right around when the Saturday morning cartoon show started up.
Yeah.
That's when X-Men was kind of really hot.
Yeah.
I mean, X-Men was probably at peak popularity of where it had been any time previously in the 90s, because they had just really managed to make that book and in the related books as well really exciting and sexy and everything, because the new modern style art that we're used to now today started to kick in and stuff like that. And some of the stuff that comic books get criticized for, as far as being a little too over sexualized and stuff, that all kind of
that was in its heyday right there.
Oh yeah, that really got cranked up in the 90s, and because that's around the time when culture was changing, where that was becoming a little more acceptable for people to walk into a store and buy off the newsstand kind of thing. So for my generation, millennials, you know, and, you know, McFaul, you're only a little bit older than me. You know, I wouldn't even say a full generation older than me. And if it's, you know, our Gandalf, but.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
No, okay. You shall not pass.
But for my generation, we grew up where X-Men was like the Marvel property. You know what I mean? Like, and everything else was auxiliary to it. And we grew up with X-Men toys, X-Men trading cards, X-Men TV shows. The movies came out in the early 2000s. You know, the first one came out when I was in high school. And then more came out when I was in college and beyond. So, like, it's been there the whole time. Except now we have this whole situation with Marvel and the MCU have brought the best quality control ever for comic book stuff to the other properties that they managed to keep control over, you know what I mean? And like, or sneak control of, because I mean, I don't think anybody knew we'd be where we are now 10 years ago when they started this process. So yeah, for my generation, a lot of my friends, you know, people I know that are comic book fans that are close to my age, X-Men is a big deal to us. And so when you start saying no more mutants, you know, we're going to start killing them off, we're going to stop focusing on them. And it's like, that's a real big blow to my interest in Marvel. Like, I love Avengers. Don't get me wrong. It's fun. But I don't care about those characters like I care about X-Men. I can talk about X-Men for hours. And, you know, I can, like, my favorite characters are all X-Men. And it's, for me, it's a big thing. And it's like, I want it to be okay for me to be a fan of my favorite properties again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not right now. It's like, because Age of Apocalypse, as good as Days of Future Past was, Age of Apocalypse is looking a little troubling too, because we're seeing some early production photos and stuff, and it's like, the costumes look kind of, you know, they look kind of shaky.
I did see a newer image of Apocalypse that was a lot better than that purple Power Rangers looked in Apocalypse that we saw a few months ago. There was one that actually just came out a couple days ago that looked like it was a photo taken in the recording studio for the sound design, and they're watching the film and doing the you know, the score music. And there's a shot of Apocalypse on screen. It's like, okay, this is a little bit better. He's like blue, slate blue. He doesn't look like he's made out of plastic. So I've got a little bit more hope for that. I mean, you know, I've always had more hope for the X-Men movies than I have for like Fantastic Four, for example.
Yeah.
But I mean, still not as much hope as I'd have for it if it were being done by Disney Marvel. That's for sure.
Yeah, I totally though. I predict at the end of the Apocalypse movie that he's just going to pull off his mask as old man Jenkins. He goes, "I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you meddling kids." Yeah, that's kind of Fox. He'll give us an open. You read an article. Well, at least you read. There's an article posted in the Agents Only Lounge for From the Helicarrier, and I read it. It sounded like you read it too, but that was the first I'd heard about this. And people were saying that this means that they're shutting it down, which is not the case. And you pointed that out. That is wording that there will be no more.
Right.
Shutting it down.
But yes, it's funny. It's like the way they phrased it is, no more mutants in Marvel Comics. And when you read that headline, God, I hate clickbait headlines like that.
Yeah.
But when you read that headline, you're thinking, wow, they're just going to phase out those comics like they did with the Fantastic Four.
Right.
But really, it's more that they're no more mutants. Like, in other words, we're not creating any brand new mutants. And I think, again, Marvel still does a lot of sales with the comic books. I think this is temporary. It might be a really good move to kind of pare down, like we've been talking about, the amount of money that that Fox gets for, you know, future X-Men movie installments, and maybe we'll work out an arrangement kind of like Sony did with Spider-Man, which would be fantastic.
I've talked about this a little bit in the past too, and we're in two completely different situations with the Sony rights and the Fox rights. Sony is kind of failing across the board as a company. All of their entertainment divisions are doing poorly, like they've been suffering for years. I honestly think that we're going to see their film division go away in some capacity sometime in the next couple years. So I think what they're doing right now is extracting as much profit as they can from the property while they can hold it. But I think they've already been in talks to acknowledge the fact that they're going to end up having to give it back. they're probably going to sell it back, you know, depending on the success of the crossover event and the relaunch of the brand. Mm-hmm. That is my gut instinct. That's from reading some opinions on the internet, and you know how opinions go. Mm-hmm. I'm not an industry insider, so I'm no expert, but that is my gut feeling, is that they're really toning down that division anyways. They're probably going to consider either cutting it loose or you know, selling their studio or something like that. Any number of things can happen, but it's not going to, the status quo is going to change, basically.
They really should do a Mr. Wonderful deal. You know, if you ever watch Shark Tank on ABC, Mr. Wonderful's on there, and it's, his deals are always royalty in perpetuity, right? So Sony's best thing to do was essentially work out a legal deal where they give back full rights of Spider-Man to Marvel, and they shut down their movie. I know they make other movies besides superheroes, but it's all struggling. But the ones that are good, I can't tell you what all the Sony properties are. I have no idea. But the ones that are good, you sell off the rights to them and keep royalties in perpetuity. And same with Spider-Man. Spider-Man can make you billions of dollars if you'll just stop investing money and burning money doing something you're not really that great at. And do focus on what you are good at, which is managing properties and saying, hey, Marvel, you go do what you do. Give us our whatever percent cut for the rest of time. And you'll make a lot of money that way. But what I'm hoping actually will happen is that, unfortunately, it took a tragedy to Sony for them to finally give up the rights and work out a sweetheart deal. Both teams win. Sony still gets to make some movies with Marvel supervising, so continuity stays in place, quality stays in place. Marvel, we get our, you know, beloved redheaded stepchild back, because a lot of people love Spider-Man. We'll see how they play him to see if he can win me over or not. But he's back in Marvel's hands, which is amazing. Fox is doing the no mine and taking out, and man, the worldwide audience spoke to Fantastic Four, and it just tanked. Mm-hmm. And there's still no official cancellation of the second movie yet, but I think it's coming.
It's pending, yeah.
And Fox is doing that because they have to. I mean, they're in this position. Everybody is getting crushed by Disney right now. Everybody else in the film industry is having a real hard time getting any serious properties off the ground. I mean, everything is intellectual franchise-based right now, right?
Right.
You know, intellectual property franchise base. Everything is, that is where all the money is currently. We're not seeing these individual films that are generating a lot of buzz and making anybody a bunch of money. Even if they do, it's not happening while they're in the theater. It's happening like around award season when the buzz gets drummed up again, and it's, you know, DVD and whatever sales.
Which studio has the Fast and the Furious series? Because that was one of the biggest moneymakers.
I'll look it up.
That was Universal, looks like.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. And they've also got Despicable Me / Minions.
Great.
They've got Pitch Perfect as far as their franchise list, Jurassic Park.
Right.
So Universal, well set with that. Yes. When you look at the other ones, I mean, Sony's got, in addition to Spider-Man, they've got the James Bond franchise, which they got from Universal?
MGM, wasn't it?
Not MGM. What? It was
the only.
Shoot, I'm trying to think of the logo at the beginning of the older movies.
You know, producer Mike off microphone is yelling, "I know the answer."
Now, it's interesting that you brought up the Bond franchise, because that's actually a franchise that's in a little bit of flux right now, because we're fairly certain this is the last time we're going to see Daniel Craig.
Right.
I mean, I think they've pretty much said that. I don't know if they've officially announced that, but they're looking at other people. So there's a lot of buzz about who the next person's going to be. And there's been some drama and stuff around that. And it's, that is a franchise that it generates some revenue for a while, but it doesn't have the same merchandising opportunities that other franchises
have. It's all the money's made on the movie, because there's... Right. You're not selling a crap ton of toys or tie-ins and stuff, but the highest grossing movie that Sony has ever released is Skyfall at $1.1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So,
yeah. So
they're going to hold on. I mean, obviously,
it's
not like there's any danger of them losing the Bond franchise, but, you know, that might help ease the sting of Spider-Man going back to Marvel.
Well,
like, hey, look in this hand. You've got all the James Bond stuff. We're just going to reach over to this hand and snatch Spider-Man back.
Well, with Marvel's help, though, maybe they'll build a really good franchise that we'll all love because it's a great partnership. And that's ultimately what I wanted to say about Fox is maybe they'll see Sony all of a sudden turns it around. Because we're sitting here as probably insiders and predictors and article writers do and saying, hey, in 5 to 10 years, there will be no more Sony film.
Right.
And everybody kind of sees that coming. But what happens if maybe Spider-Man does really well for them because they've partnered with Marvel and Marvel has partnered with them and it's a mutual beneficial thing going on. Maybe Fox will get off their grumpy ass high horse and go, we would rather make not just millions of dollars also, but have a great fan base who loves what we do and sees us as the MCU.
That's the thing. First things first with Sony, I think it's in Sony's interest to maintain some kind of revenue sharing, but to give it back, at least creative control, which they're kind of starting to do here. Because the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
Marvel has shown that they know how to handle these characters, to develop these franchises, to launch stuff like Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy, which are obscure.
Relatively unknown.
Relatively unknown.
The B-team.
You know what I mean? And B-team, come on. Guardians of the Galaxy walking up until that film came out and was marketed so successfully and was such a smash hit. They were C or D-team. Yeah. You know, they were sitting way out of play for a long, you know what I mean? There was a little bit of a cult following for them, for people who were into the more cosmic level stories, but they were not nearly as popular as a lot of the other properties in the MCU.
Yeah.
So give creative control back to Marvel and do some profit sharing. Because really, ultimately, what Sony actually cares about is making some money. And if they give up all the things that cost them money, which is the actual making the films and all the stuff that entails and everything, and they just have a revenue stream from an entity that already is pumping out success, that's just great for them. Now, Fox, on the other side, they want that, they want those big Disney bucks. You know, they want to be making money the way Disney's making money. But the problem is Fox has a consistent history of mishandling everything creatively. I mean, we have had nothing but problems with Fox over the years. I mean, you can go back to Family Guy, Firefly. You know, there's a whole litany of shows and movies that have just been butchered creatively by them.
Futurama.
Yeah,
even Matt Groening, who created Futurama, who created Simpsons, once they tanked him on Futurama and messed with him, and they took it to Cartoon Network and was really successful, and they wanted him to bring it back. The man who has spent, I don't know, over 25 years on your network making his fortune.
The Simpsons,
With The Simpsons, said, no, I'm not giving you anything else. That says something about your community.
Yeah,
totally. And they just don't. And everything I've ever read about their corporate culture is that they literally do not give a shit about the fans or the creative side of things. And they just treat everybody involved poorly. And that's clear. I mean, the biggest example of that is the third X-Men film. Last Stand. I mean, I've had conversations with people, and if Mark Twigg is out there listening, I've had a long conversation with him when I first joined FTH about it. The thing about that film is it was development hell because they lost Singer at the last minute. They bring Brett Ratner in, who is the Rush Hour movies were great, you know, beer and popcorn flicks. I had a good time. I love those movies. They crack me up. I have a good time watching them. But I don't want my favorite, you know, franchise to have its capstone third film directed by that guy.
Right.
And anybody who thinks that that's a good idea has no business working in the industry.
I'm sorry. I'm just picturing Professor X going, do you hear the thoughts coming out of my head?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, it took a hard left in that movie. It really did.
They just like, you could just tell that the story was thrown right out the window. And we've seen it also with the Blade franchise. Same thing happened with those. The first two were pretty good. Third one was a mess, even though it had awesome people involved. It has some of the best casting they had all along.
Yes.
You know, it just like, and obviously, you know, there's stories about how Wesley Snipes didn't give a single shit about right. his, you know, his, you know, it was just
that was right about just, the time he was going to court for all that
tax evasion
stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and he had problems with the director and all this other stuff, but they just turned it into this garbage film that, like, so many films from right around that time were just, you know, lots of special effects, mm-hmm. no substance, just garbage. So Fox has proven that it's not so good with this stuff. And they're trying to squeeze every drop of profit out of something that is just colossally failing because they don't put any focus, emphasis, money, and effort into the biggest thing that makes these franchises successful, and that is the fan base mm-hmm. and the creative side of it.
Yeah. I used to watch a ton of Fox shows, right?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, House. I mean, you name it, I probably watched it. And now I find myself watching more of like WB, which is a teenager network, but they know how to handle their community and their content. I mean, Supernatural is a little bit of a guilty pleasure, but I've watched the whole seasons up till they haven't launched the newest one yet, but I've watched everything at least twice, if not more, because they handle their audience well. They pander's the wrong word. They play to the fans. And NBC, I used to never watch NBC shows because I was not their demographic. I don't have a must-see Thursday. I don't care about Friends, but they got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now they've got Carter. Now they're really doing some other properties that follow that.
Those are
ABC.
Yeah.
Shoot.
NBC's got stuff like NBC had the Blacklist.
NBC had Constantine, Blacklist. So there's still that audience. We see where you are, and we're going to meet you there, or at least try to with pilots and test runs.
NBC's strong suit has always been comedy.
Yeah.
Because of the SNL pedigree they could develop. Basically, they throw everybody into the SNL jumble, and then they let them kind of, like, trickle stuff out.
Well, that and Seinfeld. I mean, Seinfeld for them was huge.
Yeah, my God.
Cheers, Frasier, Seinfeld. I mean, yeah, they for a while, they could do no wrong when it came to comedy staples. Well, maybe not The Single Guy or Caroline in the City, but we won't bring those up.
We digress. But the idea is that if Fox and Marvel, Disney, whatever, they don't get on the same page, mm-hmm. we could see our beloved X-Men go away for a little while, or at least become muted.
Mutants. I would say that's probably more likely, is that you stop seeing, you know, you're still going to see the current wave of comics. You're still going to see X-Men, Amazing X-Men, Wolverine, et cetera, et cetera. You're still going to see all that. I guess Wolverine's currently dead in current
continuity. I don't think he's come back yet.
No, but it's just a matter of time. Right. I'm sure that's going to be one of the parts of the Secret Wars is, oh, here's a world where Wolverine's alive. Come on over to this universe. But them not adding, I don't see them adding any new issues or new, not issues, but new titles.
Yeah.
And certainly not doing anything new as far as like cartoons, like they're doing with Guardians of the Galaxy and Smash and mm-hmm. Iron Man Adventures and things like that until they can start making their own money on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
and Fox, why aren't you doing a S.H.I.E.L.D. style show with the X-Men? I mean, you own the property. You see how S.H.I.E.L.D.'s doing, how Agent Carter's doing. Honestly, Constantine got canceled, but it had good numbers.
Why don't you Google, what is it? It's Generation X, which I think was a Fox television series.
Just the title.
Parts of
horrible.
The YouTube video. Well, it was based on a great comic, a good X-Men title from the 90s that was like where you saw Chamber and Husk, and I'm trying to think if any of these characters continued on. Warlock was part of that. He was one of the New Mutants, but moved on to Generation X. I can't think of any other characters that have really been long-lasting, but they tried to do a Heroes-style procedural comic book drama, and it was laughable.
It
did such a disservice to the...
That's the answer to my question, isn't it? Why aren't you doing it? Because you know you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, well, that's the bottom line.
I don't want to see another procedural, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw that out there. Right. I almost stopped watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 1 because it was, you know, shaping up to be a procedural for a while. They've solved that problem. It's not like that anymore. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I mean, they've fully embraced episodic content, you know, with a connected story. It's tough to run shows like that. I'll acknowledge that, because it's real easy to miss. You know what I mean? Mm. It's easy to write yourself into a corner where people aren't really happy with the way things are going. But those are the stories that are the most popular right now on television. You know, the shows like Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, you know, like these really monumentally successful shows have interconnected storylines where they just, you know, each season is like a mini movie. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
And the episodic format is just so washed up at this point. There's so many shows, so many freaking shows.
Oh, who is it? Somebody is coming out with a TV show. I think it's set in the DC universe. So it might be Warner Brothers, obviously, if it's DC.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out with an insurance company comedy. It's a sitcom where an insurance company is set in the DC universe. So they're like having to sell Batman insurance or something. Like, your building gets blown up by the Joker. We have special insurance for that. I've heard that that's coming to TV.
There was a Marvel comic based on was Damage Control. It was, in the 90s. Marvel had a comic in the 90s called Damage Control about a team that basically doesn't, no superpowers or anything. They go in and clean up after superhero fights.
Which I've always thought that was a cool, I didn't know about that. I might go back and read that, but that sounds like an interesting idea if it's done correctly. So.
Now, the interesting thing is that format works for DC because it's freaking Detective Comics. Okay. Like, most of those characters are, like, you know, they're dicks, they're detectives, they're, you know, they're investigating and dealing with problems on a week-to-week basis. That has always been the way DC has been written, you know, the comics and everything, and so it makes sense. But Marvel for a long time has been a much more largesse setting, you know what I mean, where it's about social issues on a grand scale. Like, I mean, the mutants, they're, you know, the allegory for so many different oppressed peoples throughout history. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really pissed off that this financial issue between these two companies is causing such problems about, you know, these characters that we like because they're the downtrodden. They're the ones that have been, you know, discriminated against and hated on for the entire time they've existed in the modern era of these comics, you know what I mean? That's been their story. And so now you're like, okay, well, we're going to blow up this big Terrigen Mist bomb and we're going to push them off Earth. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
You've been hammering it into our head for decades now that these people, you know, deserve a chance. And you just keep making it worse creatively because you're trying to deal with business issues outside of it. So I'm frustrated with the whole situation. But, yeah, I mean, Fox is just Fox and TV shows, though. I wouldn't want them to start anything that they couldn't finish, and it's pretty clear that they probably couldn't.
Yeah,
you know?
And you know, the last thing I want to say, and you guys say more if you want. The last thing I want to say about the whole No More Mutants thing, it kind of feels like, I don't really have a great analogy, but it kind of feels like mommy and daddy are in an argument, and all of a sudden, daddy takes you, the kid, as a hostage and puts a gun to your head to make mommy do what they want. It's like, I know it's a bit extreme, but that's kind of what Marvel's like. I've got the X-Men, and now we're going to make No More Mutants, so I'm kind of putting the guns in the X-Men's head, saying, really, mm-hmm. Fox? You want to go down this road? Because we'll kill the X-Men.
It's more like mommy saying, I'm going to take all these family pictures and not take any pictures of you or my son if you're going to take him with you.
Well, you know, okay, there's that. All right. But we know, I am the out there guy.
It's like a hostage. It's a hostage situation, like you would see in a movie or a TV show. And the point is what Marvel's doing right now is they're like, we'll put a bullet in this property's head to show you that we're not scared.
Which they did with the Fantastic Four.
Right. Oh, well, they've already done it. They're like, we did it to that. And look how...
But they weren't making any money with Fantastic Four comics anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's
not a surprise.
But X-Men is a huge property.
It's a harder one for them to do that with. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, and they're basically saying, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that the people who are with us don't care about your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So give it back, basically. Well,
you know, I do like the Days of Future Past. I've thought they've been very well done. I think Fox is walking a very thin line with it, because as soon as they lose the core audience, which are Marvel book readers, then I think it'll tank. But until then, I thought they've done well. But it's, you could feel every time they announce a new movie, it's a little tenuous. And let's see what you're actually going to do with this and will it work. Whereas Fantastic Four, who owns Ghost Rider? Is that Fox?
Marvel has that back now.
No, they've got it back now.
Yeah, they used to be Fox, I think, but Marvel's got them.
And I honestly, I know they're schlocky, but it's one of those deals. My whole measuring stick, which I know pisses off the fans, geeks, if you will, is that I don't have anything else in cinema to compare it to. So I did like the Ghost Rider movie because it was the only Ghost Rider I get to see in with my eyes. You know, Ghost Rider 2, same way. Not a great film, but I enjoyed it because it's the only Ghost Rider I get. So until I get a better one, it's okay. But it definitely is not going to be building franchises. It's the definitely first, not going to be IPs.
That first film was kind of a victim of when it came out. You know, like, it was very much in the vein of a lot of other films at the time. The other ones, work on a... I got a group of friends... that get together from time to time, and we have what we call bad movie night, where, you know, we get some beers and, you know, some snacks and stuff, and we watch real bad movies.
It's called Film Sack, right?
No, yeah. And so, you know, when we do that, one of the times we watched Spirit of Vengeance, and we had a good time. Like, it was, and we sat there during it, and we're like, this movie's better than it should be. It's not quite full blown bad movie material. But it's still, you know, it's laughable and over the top and pretty bad.
Some of it's intentional, some of it's not.
Yeah. So, I mean,
King of Fire was amazing. I'm sorry. It just was.
I see. And I still can't decide if, like, the greatest thing that ever happened to that franchise as far as films go is having Nick Cage attached to him or not. Because I honestly think that the whole the internet's obsession with Nick Cage is what allowed them to continue to make money off of those films.
Yeah, right. If they would have put an unknown in that spot, it would have been just like Man-Thing, where it was kind of put out there, forgotten about, and striving to be B-movie quality.
That being said, I think we're primed perfectly to see that character come in from time to time in the Netflix shows, you know, in the street hero stuff. Show up for an episode or two here and there each season.
Yeah, and be a part of the Daredevil, Jessica Jones. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. I don't want to see him get his own show because I don't think you can keep the tension and the drama for very long because he's so ridiculous. You
miniseries,
know what I mean?
Like, maybe.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Maybe.
One off. I mean, I know technically Netflix are one offs, but they're actually done as TV shows and series. But I could see a new brand of Netflix coming out, calling it the mini flicks or something like that, where he gets six episodes of just his own show, and maybe we won't do another story arc. Maybe it's just a one-off.
I don't know if that would be, that might still be too much. Ghost Rider, because you've got to play up the whole possessed by the demon and can, you know.
Yeah.
Richard Rider, is that the character's
name?
That's
one of them.
Yeah, bouncing back and forth between...
Johnny Blaze.
That's right. Oh, Richard Rider was Nova. What am I thinking? Yeah, Johnny Blaze is who I was thinking of.
I think
there are multiple Ghost Riders, though.
I think once these other shows get off the ground, what they could do is a mini series with all of them, where they bring all the characters together. Like, say, you have your season for each show. So you have your Daredevil season, your Jessica Jones, and your forthcoming Luke Cage and
Iron Fist.
Yep. And they each have their season and they're going back and forth and they're all interweaving and stuff in on their individual shows, but they're building up to something. And then you do a mini thing on Netflix where it's like a mini movie. Right. Where it's bigger. Maybe it's longer than, you know, a normal movie. Like, cause like, for example, Age of Ultron, the big problem with that film is that Whedon left so much on the cutting room floor because he was forced to. He's told people, he's like, I can't tell you exactly what was actually in my original edit, but like, I promise you that there was more to this before it, you know, kind of went to get a liposuction and a tummy tuck and all that stuff.
That's going to get a director's cut edition, you know.
Oh, well, that would be great. It might not, though, because they might not want to screw with, you know, their continued, you know, it's a whole thing.
5 years later type of deal.
But if they did that with the Netflix shows and they just built up the season and then they did a mini movie or a mini series or whatever you want to call it, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
And where they could bring everybody together and they could sprinkle in some of the other guys too if they wanted to. And, you know, give it the budget of a film, you know what I mean? but realize that it's going to hit Netflix. And I honestly think it's the future. I mean, quite clearly, theaters at this point, I think we can say that theater going is, it's slowly declining, maybe faster in some areas than other industry that is going to probably go away sometime in the next 10, 20 years.
I wouldn't say go away, but I think it's definitely going to become more only the best movies will bring you to the theater. You won't have the summer blockbuster. It'll be every movie that comes out is worth seeing because you only get 10 movies a year.
The reason I'm pretty confident that it's going to kill the industry is because that's not sustainable for them.
Maybe not.
You can't run a business year-round that only gets to show a few successful movies. You know what I mean? That's why a lot of small community theaters just go away. Like, you know, the ones you find out in small rural towns and stuff that used to get, you know, 3-4 movies at a time, and that used to be sustainable because people would go. A lot of those have closed up and stuff like that because it's just movie going. I mean, we have home theaters, literally. We have TVs that are affordable nowadays. So affordable, in fact, that they only cost a couple outings with a full family to go see a movie in an actual theater.
This is true, though.
You know what I mean?
It's very true.
And so you have a big flat panel in your home with a for an affordable kick-ass sound system, and you can stream or download or buy a DVD or Blu-ray for whatever you want to see, and just enjoy it at home. You know, it's the future. It's the reality. And Netflix is killing it. Everything that they're putting out outside of even the stuff that we're talking about here, you know, this stuff, they have all these original shows that are coming out all the time, and they're all killing it. They're all really good. And, you know, I mean, I've recently been watching Narcos, which is about a Colombian Medellin cartel. That show's great.
Pablo Escobar.
That's why I hear it's really good. Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, it's amazing. And I'm like, so this is a relationship we should highlight, by the way. We have Netflix and we have Marvel, and they've come together and they're doing great things, and they're both good at their different sides of it. You know what I mean? And it's producing awesome content. So that's what we need to see more of. But yeah, I don't know how we got this far into the rabbit hole, but we're here.
That's all right. It's a good place to go.
Now there, of course, this week, the week of this recording, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back, which I'm very excited for, which means in a couple of months, Agent Carter, because I do like how they stagger that. Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. makes its half run because it does half a season and takes a break. As soon as it takes a break, Carter picks right up in that time slot. It goes until it hits the break or hits the end of the season. I forget how they do Carter. Then Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. Part 2 comes in. So you get 6 months, if not more, of great Marvel TV to look forward to.
The perfect way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm so glad Agent Carter went over well because it was such a finely crafted show.
And it's so different.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Oh, that's, totally.
Yeah,
and it has such positive energy and a positive message. You know, like it's a beacon of feminism, you know what I mean? Without being beating you about the head and face the whole time, you know? It's like, I mean, they make all the little the quips and whatnot, but like that's just further solidifying her character as like a take no guff kind of, you know.
And there's guys who do respect her, so it's not just across the board. Yeah. Oh, dog,
sexism from everybody, right.
Which is great.
And
the stories,
a real life Jarvis. That actor does so well with that. He's amazing.
I really appreciate that actor. He's been in a lot of things that I've really enjoyed. So I'm always thrilled to see him. He is killing it as Jarvis as well. That show is very entertaining, and I think that's the perfect way to handle your midwinter break, is to stagger it with another show that is related but not directly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because obviously they want to position Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to be their strong lead-in and their strong closer, at the various ends of the winter season, if you will, winter into spring. And
in my opinion, they're doing that very successfully.
Right. And yeah, so that it's fantastic. They've been doing a smash up job of positioning things. It feels like every couple months we've got some more Marvel goodness coming nowadays, and that's great.
Let's talk about their rival, DC, man. I got to go to the Arrow panel, the Stephen Amell panel at Dragon Con, the first one with just him, and they launched the world premiere of the trailer for season 4. And of course, the crowd goes nuts. But I got to tell you, Stephen Amell is such an awesome guy. He is your, in a great way, he's your stereotypical Canadian of just happy and not, you know, very non-egotistical and shares with the fans. And he's fans of comics and he's fans of sci-fi. Arrow, I went back and watched all of season 2 on Netflix. I'm waiting for season 3 to hit Netflix, which will probably be when season 4 starts. but I want to consume it through Netflix versus it was on Hulu, but I couldn't get. I fell behind, so I couldn't get the first couple episodes. I've got to watch this in order.
Right. They only show you like the last few episodes. Yeah.
Watch it on Hulu every week.
Yeah, you're right.
So we can talk about it on this show.
We'll get there for sure. But that has done a really, really, they've done very well in how they set up that story. It got a little shaky in season two, but I've heard season three is so much better for the fans. And the one thing that he won't do, Stephen Mell has said, hell no to the goatee as the Green Arrow, but he'll do pretty much everything else, which is a little sad. I love the goatee of the Green Arrow. But okay. Gotham has just hit Netflix.
The first season.
Season two is either just launched or is about to launch.
And as of the recording of this episode, the first episode of the new season was last night, and it's excellent.
All right, there you go. And that, you guys can, we can leave it to DC on screen to talk about, because I will not be able to keep up with that because I've got so many other things going on. But I am trying to go consume season one because I've heard so many amazing things about it.
It is the best comic-related show that doesn't feel like a comic-related show.
That's cool. I saw the commercials. I'll be honest. I saw the commercials. How do you have a Batman show with no Batman? This is crap. You know, just on premise alone, I was like, But I've watched the first episode before Hulu dropped the first 8 episodes. I saw the first one. And then, of course, couldn't catch up because they dropped all the episodes. And I was behind. It's my fault. I'll admit to it. But it was really good, and I've heard from like you, Klotz, and Ibit, and DC on screen, and that is such a well done show. It is such a perfectly done Jim Gordon that I'm definitely like, oh, I'm glad it just hit Netflix because now
everybody is fantastic, man. Every single casting is spot on the money, really, really, really good.
And Arrow's getting Constantine, which makes me very, very happy.
Yep.
Because I really thought they did a fantastic job with the first season. And I'm with DC on screen. Really, 5 million viewers is not good enough for you? Seriously, compare it to its other counterparts.
It's kind of small potatoes. I mean,
maybe for NBC. Well, not even for NBC, because they're canceling shows left and right. I mean, they're not having huge 10 million, 8 million, 12 million viewer shows out right now, the blockbusters. So, you know, you might want to keep some of those 4 million.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. The biggest problem with Constantine as a standalone show is that it is too much like Supernatural while Supernatural is still going.
I'll give you that.
Supernatural is such a juggernaut. You know what I mean? Like, it's got a huge fan following. It's just crushing. You know what I mean? Everything. And so anything that's remotely like it, it's just going to feel like a pale comparison. And whether it's related to a comic franchise or not, you know? So I think sprinkling him into the other shows is going to be so much better. Yeah. And I hope they bring back a lot of the people they had on that show, because they had some quality people attached to that. Particularly the guy who was playing Papa Midnight. I really enjoyed his performances. I enjoyed a lot of those episodes where they dealt with him and whatnot. So I would love to see him crop up as the bad guy in Arrow at some point, you know, for a little bit of an arc and stuff. But it can't carry it. It doesn't have its own legs, basically, because there's just other stuff out there that's super popular that's already too successful.
I'll say the same thing I said when NBC kept trying to cancel Quantum Leap. But I like it, so why isn't that good enough?
Quantum Leap, huh? You're gonna make a big stand for that?
Was it 15 years later?
When I was laid up sick last week, that's actually what I was binge watching.
It holds up, man. I did that too not that long ago. I was like, you know what? I'm in a retro mood. Let me pull up Quantum Leap. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The graphics are horrible, but this is a great show.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of great things, but not great things, you're talking about Fox not being Marvel. I've put this little tag in here, and apparently I'm the only one who've come across this for the three of us so far. But there's a game called what's it officially called? Come on, where is it? It's Tiny Mighty Heroes Unite. Okay.
Yeah, never even heard of that.
So I'm playing on Facebook on Playdom, right? I'm playing the Marvel Avengers Alliance. I'm such in movie mode, I'm having a hard time to switch back to the game mode. And I keep seeing this ad pop up on the side, and it looks like these weirdly drawn fat balls of characters, except I noticed immediately, like when I started flipping through it to research it, I went, wait a minute, something's wrong here, because all the male characters And I get stylized art. You know, we've talked about the brawler that's on the iOS system. That's this cartoony, weird art, but people like it. But all the male characters are balls of pudge. Literally, they look like balls with feet. However, the female characters are almost all wearing bikini. Like the Scarlet Witch, her character has a string bikini bottom and a halter top. It's like, wait a minute. That's even out there from Marvel. Right. Yeah. That doesn't seem right. Miss Marvel has like nothing on her ass. It's like a bare ass sticking out. It's like, what is going on here? And that actually offended me a little bit. But it's like, I went and watched some gameplay on YouTube. I'm like, nah, this looks so boring. But I am addicted to Marvel. So I wanted to check it out. But before I downloaded it, because I wanted you to sign up and download, I'm like, let me research it some more. So I find out it's not Marvel at all. The mightiest Marvel Comics ripoff of them all. And as you go through and look at the characters, luckily somebody else did this for me, so I didn't get caught up in it. I will go ahead and tell you. Thor is not Thor. He's Thorn with an N at the end.
Oh, no.
It's the Maroon Witch. It's Miss Marvelous and the Rabid Raccoon. And wait for it, Grout. Grout. And I like Cyclops' laser eyes. So, yeah, it's a ripoff by AMZ Games. And it's...
That's terrible.
It is. It's this... Must be this free-to-play Winter Warrior is one of the characters. Ghost Rider's dead guy. And it's from China, it looks like.
It kind of sounds like a brainstorming session over at DC.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It does. And actually, they throw in the Joker, too. I don't know what they call him, but Joker is prominently in this video promoting it with all these Marvel characters. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Batman, I think. Joker and Batman are in the preview with all these other Marvel characters.
Like real Joker and Batman?
No. I'm sure they call him Jester so and
because it would be a hilarious, like, not crossover thing, but a hilarious Warner Brothers thing to do a lampoon of all of these Marvel characters and put them with Batman and Joker, but...
Blade, Vampire Hunter's now the entire sword hilt and all. His name is Sword instead of Blade. Sometimes they just say Sabretooth is switching to R and the E, so it's spelled wrong. Loki is Lacrosse.
You mean so it's spelled right?
Okay, whatever.
That's the funny thing about Sabretooth.
It's horrible that they've done this, and that it really, I mean, you could tell that these are the characters. They're just, it looks like just stylized art. They're big round balls of fat with legs coming out or super sexy models. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, you know what? I mean, they are absolutely these characters. I mean, you could tell. My kids saw it like, oh, I want to play that Marvel game. I'm like, it's not actually Marvel. And I didn't play the game. They saw the ad. But so I just wanted to warn everybody who's listening. It's probably legit. You could probably have some fun with it. But it's not Marvel. It's not an officially sanctioned game.
It's Marvel-esque.
Beware, you know, enter at your own risk kind of thing.
That's hilarious. Yeah, look at that. Oh, there's a Dark Phoenix. I like the fact that Captain America has a big M on his shield. You know, like you glance at this and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's Marvel stuff. But boy, are they really, that's really funny.
Yeah, and it's I believe it's a freemium thing, so of course it's going to ask for a credit card at some point.
Oh, yeah, they better not charge for it.
No, right. But it could be fun if it's yourself. The video I watched on YouTube did not attract me at all. It's mostly autoplay, which is you set up your team, and then they go forth and conquer. And if you set them up right, they destroy things, and then you level them up.
Holy cow. Yeah, I just saw, you know, no kidding, just saw what you're talking about with Miss Marvelous and Maroon Witch.
Right.
You got to be cold in those outfits.
I mean, it's we mock Marvel for the 90s and the swimsuit editions that they did. I totally had the swimsuit edition from Wizard, the Comet Rising Guide. But it was, this is horrible. I mean, as far as how they draw them, it's like, sexism much? I mean, it's blatant.
Hawkeye is called the Archer.
Am I right that Ghost Rider, did you say Ghost Rider is called Ghost Ride?
No, I think he's called Dead Guy.
Dead Guy, okay.
Dude,
this is a different
Hawkeye
photo
just then. Shot up into the air, and then a toilet came and crushed his opponents in this video that I'm watching.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about that. I was wondering where that damn toilet came from. But see, they have Deadpool, which I don't know what they call him, but I was like, I always play anything with Deadpool in it. Not now. I'm not playing this thing. I don't know. I might.
Yeah, dude, these
poison ivy characters on the screen with Storm. It's weird, man.
This is so bad. These female characters look like they're like strip club variants.
Totally, yes. Yeah.
Storm is actually the only one who looks fairly like Storm in the 90s comics. She's as covered as she was in the book, which isn't a lot, but they didn't actually go all out and make her a strip club version.
Yeah, this is, wow.
Yeah, this is like, I would not play this game, but I am watching YouTube right now, and it is very entertaining to laugh at these characterizations.
I like this. I'm looking at their terms of service. Copyright. All content, including on this site, such as text, graphics, logos, buttons, blah, 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 is the property of AMZ Game or its content suppliers and protected by international copyright laws. So they have trademarks and copyright wording on their site when they're blatantly ripping off the IPs of two other companies.
Yeah. Way to go, AMZ Games. Clever.
Yeah, I like this. If you use this site, you are responsible for maintaining the confidentiality of your account and password. Not gonna happen. As is or as available basis. So yeah, don't. And they're paying for Facebook ads, and of course if you play the games like we do, it eventually will pop up and might catch your eye. But yeah, I would say no. Just no.
Wow.
All right, so what are we reading, playing, and watching, Klotz?
Well, we've had some interesting stuff come out recently. First of all, Dice Masters War of Light just came out. So we played... Actually, I haven't gotten to play it yet, actually, because nobody showed up last week. But then over this past weekend, which we're recording this on September 22nd, over the past weekend they had two Rainbow Draft events where they gave out special promos. And we played in one event, which I crushed in.
Nice.
And, you know, I got all the promos, which was great. And then we bought into the second event. Nobody was really actually going to play it out. We just kind of split up the prize stuff. And I ended up getting all the stuff from that, too, which was also great. So some pretty cool stuff. There's an Iron Fist promo, a couple alt art promos, a Batmobile promo. And then there were some blank art ones that you're supposed to bring to various artists and get them to fill in.
That was so cool.
Yeah, it's a play on the blank covers thing. It's kind of like, on one hand, it's like, oh man, this is kind of a lame promo. But on another hand, it's like, if you get to go to an event, it's awesome because you can have somebody doodle in your face, you know, that character.
You've got this thing that is unique that no one else has. That,
exactly.
Oh, so cool.
Totally cool. X-Wing miniatures game. The latest wave just came out, which contained the Houndstooth, the TIE Punisher, the K-Wing, and the Karaz Fighter for the Scum faction. Some really cool shakeups from this wave that came out. It really created a whole new build that is tearing up the metagame, and you've got some new options and stuff. And obviously, every time they release new ships with new sculpts, they're amazing. And really exciting also is the Episode 7 starter kit came out for the game.
Nice.
Where the original starter kit had two TIE fighters and an X-Wing. This one has a T-70 X-Wing from the new films and two First Order TIEs. Hmm. So they have the alternate paint schemes and slightly different sculpts and whatnot. And they're statted differently and stuff. So those are really cool and exciting.
I believe, Ibbet, when we walked through the gaming floor at Dragon Con, I think we saw this game.
We did. I was going to say,
sculpts.
The sculpts are gorgeous. Yeah,
X-Wing is such a well-done game, and it is wildly popular. I first got into it in 2013. I believe the first wave and the starter set were out for the Christmas 2012 season, and I got it. I asked for it for Christmas for my sister, and she got it for me, and 2013 they started releasing more waves, and it's been hot since then, and it's crazy. Like the organized play stuff for that game, the tokens and whatnot that they give out is worth a fortune because people are so into this game and they just want to gobble up all of the promotional items and stuff for it.
Nice.
And it's a really well done game. It's super fun. You can play a good game in under an hour. So it's not as like grindy as some other miniature games are, and it feels like a dogfight, which is what's great. And there's lots of different styles of play too, because you can play everything from a swarm, like you can have like 8 or 9 TIE fighters. Actually, I think it's only 8 TIE fighters, or Z-95 headhunters, or you can have like big ships, like you can have Millennium Falcon, Slave One, you know, stuff like that, and you can just pair it with a couple of smaller ships, and those are all different legitimate builds. So it's a really great game. Highly recommended if you're a Star Wars fan and you like tabletop gaming. Android Netrunner just released its last data pack of the current cycle and has its mini set that always comes out at the end of a cycle that should be hitting stores anytime in the next week or so. That's really exciting. That's always good to see the cap to a season, if you will, with lots of interesting cards. And yeah, that's what I've been really into lately. So, you know, busy. Oh, and the new Magic set comes out this weekend, upcoming weekend from when we're recording this pre-release for Battle for Zendikar, which looks to be interesting. People are kind of complaining that they think the power level is kind of low. And, you know, so there's some ho-hum-ness going on, but we'll see how it all plays out. And yeah,
how do you release a patch for a tabletop card game?
What do you mean patch?
Well, like, okay, in our video games, we'll complain like something's underpowered, and they'll put up a patch, and now it's superpowered.
Well, yeah, see, yeah, what they... You can errata things to a certain point, so like if the wording's a little weird or something like that, you can kind of, quote-unquote, fix it.
Like errata? That's a weird word.
Errata. Yeah. E-R-R-A-T-A. Like, you ever get the second... You ever get the second edition of a book, of a textbook, and it says... You know, errata. Here are the things that got changed from the previous version.
Huh. Now, I'm not familiar with that word. I learned something every day.
It's a common term in gaming circles, McFall.
I think we've established that before for casual.
Yeah. You know, you're right, though. And that's what the general concern is because the way Magic is structured, it's based on blocks. And blocks are now going to be two sets, a big set and a small set. So, like, this set that'll come out next week, it'll be out by itself with the last year's worth of sets in the standard format for a while. And then a couple months from now, another set will come out and that'll cap that block and things rotate out. So like sections of the story just go away. And so like right now with an underpowered big set, it's really going to be like, oh, last year's stuff is what's going to get played. And, you know, that's what the main archetypes and everything are going to be based on. And we've been playing with that stuff for a while already. So it could be a little stale and a little boring if the new cards aren't exciting. But the power level of the most recent block was really high. So it's going to be tough to top. And they have to occasionally, like, you know, they have to release the pressure valve, if you know what I mean. Like when it's kind of like what's happened in MAA, like sometimes they release too much good stuff all at once.
Yeah.
And it's like you've got to release some mediocre stuff to kind of like let the pressure off, let things settle out. And that's really where we're at with that right now. So, you know, I mean, it's early. People always say a lot of things going into a new release, especially for Magic, because it is such a popular game and it does have such a huge following and so many people have strong opinions. We'll know in a month or so about how this set is really shaking out. We'll start to see how it's impacting the competitive scene, how, you know, whether people are actually having fun with the new cards and stuff. So that'll be exciting. That'll take up the bulk of my weekend because that's always a good opportunity for me to play hard and crush my enemies and win some cards and try to sell them right away while they're worth a fortune because prices always like halve within 2 weeks or so. Got to make that money.
Yeah. Right.
What are you watching or playing, Nibbit?
So my wife and I just finished the first season of iZombie, which is DC really property. Yeah, Mike Allred, who did Hellboy. Did he do Hellboy? I know he did. I want to say Mike Allred was originally. Anyway, he's done a bunch of stuff. Not Hellboy. What's that guy's name? He's got the big... zigzag lightning bolt on his chest. Madman. That's who I'm thinking of. And he did X-Force for a while. Very distinctive art style. Like if you do a search for Mike Allred online, you'll see a very kind of throwback Lichtenstein-esque kind of art style. And you've seen him do all sorts of stuff Marvel. Anyway, he created a series for DC called iZombie. It's really good. It's got, what is her name? Rose McIver, who was on Masters of Sex for a while on Showtime. Really, really good actress. And it's a really fun, fun TV show. Star Wars Uprising I've been playing, which is the new, I don't know, 3/4 view Star Wars mobile game. Not sure if it's on Android. I know it's on iPad. That's what I've been playing it on.
It is on Android. Yeah,
it is. Got it. Yep. Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's another kind of freemium, visit all your friends, collect silver.
What kind of game is it? Is it like a tower defense game? Is it like
It's a progress through levels kind of shoot 'em up game, like a very slow version of Diablo. Gotham, been watching that, and kind of excited for the new season of Heroes, or the Heroes Reborn, thing. Looking forward to hoping. I'm kind of hoping that's going to be good. I mean, it's coming off of that second season of Heroes, so.
But it's not, and it's the second season of Heroes was that writer strike. So hopefully, it's coming off the first season of Heroes.
In my experience of Heroes, I watched the first season. I watched the second season. Now there's this, so I can't pretend. I can't pretend that second season didn't happen.
I know, but there's pretty much exactly there's, the same. It's like people being in the Baseball Hall of Fame with asterisks, you know, because now we play more games where they have steroids. It was a writer strike. That season gets an asterisk. It's just it happened. Yes. And we had some great stuff in it, like the Puppet Master, you know.
Sure.
But there was some really, really bad stuff, like everything else. But it was a writer's strike. We got scabs, man. We got scabs.
So. I was just going to say, it's because of those freaking scabs.
Right. Exactly.
Taking all our jobs.
So we'll see. We'll see how that is. Next episode, we should be able to talk about some of the new... maybe not comic book based properties, but some of the new superhero related and geek related pop culture TV shows that have appeared this season.
I'm pretty sure Heroes got a comic book for a little while.
I mean, there was a time.
We could stretch pretty much anything into our genre is comic based properties, right? But pretty much everything, the Bible has a comic book.
We could talk about Kiss, the band Kiss. We could talk about
Nope.
You're on your own.
All right.
How about you, Charles? What have you been enjoying lately?
Well, as I say, I'm very excited about seeing Gotham on Netflix, Arrow season 3 soon, season 2. I liked season 2. I ate it up as it went through. I'm watching some stuff that's not comic related. I'm trying to think if it would matter or not. A little side note, the guy who plays Fitz on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., before he did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he did a show for the BBC called The Fades, and I watched the first episode last night, and it's slow as the BBC does, but it's really good. And his acting is just as top notch as the second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Might have to check that out.
Man, because I'm a former paramedic, and for Fitz to have the brain damage and the actor to play him the way he did, it was spot on, man. As being around people who've had traumatic brain damage, he did such an amazing job with struggling with the emotions and all that. To watch him earlier in his career doing this show, it's sci-fi based. It's based on ghosts and those kind of things. So it's very funny. I'm not funny. It's very fun is what I meant to say. So I'm excited about... I stay behind. I'm excited about Arrow Season 3 so I can binge watch the crap of it so then I can keep up with Season 4. Flash Season 2, I'm excited about. I thought I was going to hate that show because it's so... Because the Flash is a young man. Okay, he's not a teenager, but he has a teenager
young man.
I first saw the actor on Glee. Okay, so I still have that in my mind when I saw him. But I really fell in love with the show. I thought it did a lot of justice to the comic books. I thought that they treated the fans right on that show. Whereas they didn't bring in everything comic book related. They brought in a lot of stuff.
They've done... That is honestly the best comic-based show on TV.
Gorilla Grodd, just hands down.
Oh, yeah.
Come Grodd on.
Great.
Yeah, it was so amazing. So lots of great stuff. Some cheesy stuff, sure. The Villain of the Week thing got old, but they fixed that and got into story arcs. So I'm excited about Season 2 coming up real soon. Did not get to see any of the Flash panels at Dragon Con. Mm.
I did on the Dragon Con TV. It was on the room while I was resting before heading to the airport because I was just knocked out. But it was good. They were talking about Killer Frost and how that character might get introduced. Because there's a character currently on the show who would become Killer Frost, or no spoilers.
Could become.
Yeah. It was interesting. It's a really cool. It was a cool panel.
And just because my geekdom goes through weird channels, I'm only excited about Legends of Tomorrow, simply because Rory from Doctor Who is the main central guy.
Is essentially a Time Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically, he's, I always want to call him Rex Mundy, which is not
speaking
correct.
Speaking of which, I mean, not to interrupt your section of what you're checking out, sure. Have you guys checked out the new Who?
Yes!
No, not yet. Not that, yet.
Oh, man, that first episode is a doozy.
Really?
It's not giving anything away. It feels like the final episode ever. So I'll just tell you that. The way they write it. Right, Klotz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's obviously not.
It really feels like this is the build-up to the end of the story. But I don't know what that means, because clearly it's so successful that they're not going to end it. But, like, it feels like it's the capstone to, you know, new Who, basically. It's really good.
Yeah.
You'll love it. Plus, the first episode has a hilarious, like, moment. And it's great. And it's got, oh, man, Capaldi, man.
Yeah. Capaldi is doing an amazing job. He really is. Heartbreak of heartbreaks, though. Oswin. You know, Clara Oswin Oswald is leaving the show after this season. She's actually, for good reasons,
she's getting a major lead.
Yep, she's going to go play Victoria for the BBC. Okay, you know, can't fault her for taking a major lead in a major show on a major network.
Now, I don't follow the show, but I do know that there's not a lot of people who are upset by her leaving.
Oh, I love her. She's not a highly regarded.
Okay.
I named my daughter after her, you know, just saying. Yeah, I love. Well, her first appearance as a Dalek, you know, when she was Oswin, that the way they played the character there really was one of my favorite companion ideas of all time. And of course, it's loopy, whatever. Spoilers if you haven't seen any of Doctor Who, I just messed some stuff up for you, but it's fun. But she will be leaving the show. I'm always wary of who the next companion is going to be. I'm always like, you know, as good as the last one, then I fall in love with you anyway. So.
Yeah,
Amy Pond and Rory, though, Mr. Pond, as you will, they were some of the best companions in my book. But there's been lots of great ones. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Legends Tomorrow is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy has their own cartoon on Disney XD now. It is starting
just
this month.
Oh, I thought it just started last week, didn't it?
Did it just start? Yeah, I remember seeing the commercial recently about it coming up, so I think it was last week, yeah. And then non-comic related, although I'm sure somebody did a penny comic somewhere and included it in merchandising, Seinfeld on Hulu. Little disclaimer here. I never watched Seinfeld when it was on TV.
What?
No,
really?
It just wasn't my ballpark. My life was taking me through.
How did you turn on a television not accidentally watch Seinfeld?
No, okay, I've seen a few episodes. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I have seen it. It's not like I've never seen it. Don't want to. Because
when
the Soup
I was
Nazi
growing
show.
Up, if you had a television on for more than like an hour, you were going to watch some Seinfeld.
That's about right. Yeah.
Right, and I probably come across it sometimes, but I didn't watch it as a viewer. Okay, I'll put it that way. I have seen a few episodes. I'm aware of some of the end jokes that go with it. Newman and No Soup for You and stuff like that. But when it hit Hulu, my wife was just like you guys, like, how have you not seen it? Now, my wife is not a TV person, and she's seen like every episode of Seinfeld. So she was like, oh, we got to do this. And so now I get the extreme pleasure of experiencing this on demand, no commercials, new. And it's just this awesome, amazing thing that actually makes it better for her because she watched it as a older kid / young teenager. I don't remember her age range when it was on exactly. And as many, many people obviously did, they watched it as it was on every week. I get to watch them back to back, and I am eating it up. It's great. And I'm not playing a whole lot. I'm playing Tomb Raider right now, basically in MAA. That's all I'm playing.
Oh, the Tomb Raider Go? Or the Tomb Raider console?
No, the console. The console. Oh, okay. Yeah, I needed to get Go. That looks
it's
really
so good.
Good.
Yeah.
That looks really good. There was something coming up. Oh, reading. So I'm reading Thor, God of Thunder on the MAA app. And the God Butcher.
Thunder.
Yeah, sorry. But it was only a 25-book run. And the God Butcher is such a deep, amazing
Gore
story.
Gore the
there.
God Butcher. Hell
yeah,
man.
That was great. We're actually, it's so good. Even though it's such a short run, it's so good. We're actually going to cover it on panel by panel next.
Oh, cool.
Because it was that good. And then the last thing I put a note here that I wanted to mention was I saw this on Facebook where Han Solo is in the Death Star, right? And he's at the control panel and Luke is somewhere in the, I think they show him in the pits and he's like, help me, help me. And Han Solo is the back goes, I'm sorry, man. I'm afraid of snakes. And Luke goes,
nice.
That's Indiana Jones, asshole.
Oh, seriously?
Well, it's a meme. It's not your real, okay. But yeah, it's a meme. Sorry. Didn't mean to mislead you there.
I thought this was a panel taken. Anyways. I thought this was taken from the like the current comics.
Oh no, that'd be great. Okay. No, sorry, it was just some meme on Facebook. That'd be amazing. Then somebody else posed this, so I want to leave everybody with this question, and it's just fun to think about. What if Indiana Jones, all the good Indiana Jones movies, were just Han Solo's dreams when he's in Carbonite? I'm like, that's kind of cool. So that's what I'm watching and doing.
Very good.
Okay, we just powered down the shields.
That's right.
Brian, I see this is an old note, I know, but the Star Wars CD, your Kickstarter, what all is going on with you in the music world as we wrap out?
Well, we're in talks right now for what's going to be coming up later this year and next year. There's a Las Vegas themed CD. This is, you know, part of the reasons I've been going out. This current trip is not part of this, but other trips, I've been talking to some independent artists out there about a cover album where it's old Las Vegas songs like Luck Be a Lady Tonight and Lady's a Tramp and, you know, the Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Rat Pack kind of stuff being covered by new independent artists based in Las Vegas. And so we're working out the details for that album and hopefully can have a Kickstarter for that later on this year. The Star Wars CD is being shipped right now for anybody who backed that one. So it's in the process of shipping. A lot of people already have theirs already. More of them getting them soon. And next year I've got another jazz CD on the horizon planned, and I won't spoil the topic of that one because it's going to be a fun one.
Is that the and I don't want to mutilate the name. So is that the Allen Trio?
The Andrew Allen Trio. Allen, yes. Trio. Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. I got to hear them. Of course you did too. I got to hear, you've heard them live many times. First time ever I got to hear them live at Dragon Con at Jerry's wedding. They are awesome.
Yeah,
they are truly awesome. I was very disappointed when they had to leave and there was no after party after.
Yes, after Night Attack. It was a huge bummer.
It
was a poor scheduling situation, but
and it happens. But I was really looking forward to hearing more of their stuff, and unfortunately did not get to. So very, very cool. All right, well, you can find more of us over at GiantSizeTeamUp.com. And don't make the mistake like I didn't say Giant Size with a D, Size Team Up, because it will
Giant
not work.
Size Team Up.
And it's gorgeous. It's still in progress. It's gorgeous. And we're doing well there. Check us out from thehelicarrier.com. Of course, yeah, or thehelicarrier.com. From the Helicarrier is a show. Klotz has got Come Out and Play in development. Panel by Panel is slowly but surely getting on a steady publication schedule. Of course, you've got Coverville and all the amazing things you do over at, you have BrianIbbett.com that features all your shows, doesn't it?
No, I have the domain, but no,
really,
I mean,
you go to,
why? Just go to coverville.com. You'll get everything that way.
You'll get it all there, McFall.
Oh, right. Oh, exactly.
I got my Edgar meat shoot. So yes, lots of great TV. I don't know why I went Men in Black on that.
Or you could ask me next time if I have that domain before you go putting it out there.
Well, I know you have the domain. I didn't know if you did anything with it.
Did anything with it? No.
I have charlesmcfall.com, which has all my stuff, or most of my stuff up there. I don't have this show up there yet, but I'll be getting it. So, yeah, all that cool stuff is going on. So, do you guys have any parting words?
It was a boring conversation anyway.
I can't top that.
No, me either. All right, we'll catch you guys next time.